This recording, Colorado 7, is copyright the International Dialects of English Archive. Karma Gets a Cure is copyright Douglas N. Onuroff, Jill McCullough, and Barbara Somerville.
Karma Gets a Cure. Well, here's a short story for you. Sarah Perry was a veterinary nurse who had been working daily at an old zoo in a deserted district of the territory. So she was very happy to start a new job at a superb private practice in North Square near the Duke Street Tower. That area was much nearer for her and more to her liking. Even so, on her first morning, she felt stressed. She ate a bowl of porridge, checked herself in the mirror, and washed her face in a hurry. Then she put on a plain yellow dress and a fleece jacket, picked up her kit, and headed for work. When she got there, there was a woman with a goose waiting for her. The woman gave Sarah an official letter from the vet. The letter implied that the animal could be suffering from a rare form of foot and mouth disease, which was surprising because normally you would only expect to see it in a dog or a goat. Sarah was sentimental, so this made her feel sorry for the beautiful bird. Before long, that itchy goose began to strut around the office like a lunatic, which made an unsanitary mess. The goose's owner, Mary Harrison, kept calling, "Karma, Karma," which Sarah thought was an odd choice for a name. Karma was strong and huge, so it would take some force to trap her, but Sarah had a different idea. First, she tried gently stroking the goose's lower back with her palm, then singing a tune for her. Finally, she administered ether. Her efforts were not futile. In no time, the goose began to tire, so Sarah was able to hold onto Karma and give her a relaxing bath. Once Sarah had managed to bathe the goose, she wiped her off with a cloth and laid her on her right side. Then Sarah confirmed the vet's diagnosis. Almost immediately, she remembered an effective treatment that required her to measure out a lot of medicine. Sarah warned that this course of treatment might be expensive, either 5 or 6 times the cost of penicillin. I can't imagine paying so much, but Mrs. Harrison, a millionaire lawyer, thought it was a fair price for a cure. Well, it's a pretty small town. When people think of Colorado, they think of mountains and skiing. Fort Morgan's on the northeastern plains of Colorado, so there isn't any mountains near there. It's very flat land, a lot of agricultural, a lot of farming and a lot of crops near there. I guess if you could picture farmers, yeah, like, you know, how a farmer would talk, or not necessarily country accent, not, you know, not like Tennessee or Texan, but yeah, just like a little slow, I guess you could say, yeah. High school was okay. Our high school was very known for Glenn Miller, because Glenn Miller did grow up in Fort Morgan. He went to high school there. So our auditorium was called the Glenn Miller Auditorium. And I really did like my high school. I liked where it was placed. And mostly just, you know, hang out at each other's houses, go to the movies on the weekend, you know. Sometimes, you know, there wasn't much to do in Fort Morgan, so a lot of the times over the weekend we'd, you know, travel to the bigger towns to go shopping and everything. So Greeley, Loveland, sometimes Denver. Greeley was the closest town, though, to you know, where you could do something. So they had a lot more shops. They had a lot more restaurants. So we'd mostly just go shopping at the mall, go eat. We really like going to have sushi there, since you can't get sushi in Fort Morgan. So I'd say he was pretty good. He was pretty good brother. He was pretty protective over me. I think I remember one time we were taking swimming lessons, and our instructor was like guiding us toward the deep end, and none of us had like life jackets on. And so me being little, and I didn't really know what was going on, I just went ahead and followed her into the deep end. And so my brother was taking lessons too, and he saw what was happening, and he kind of just stopped me and was like, "Go up this ladder and go over there," so I wouldn't, you know, go swimming into the deep end. So my brother was always the one who would make up the games. After school, we would play school. He would be the principal and I'd be the student. And he would always make me do schoolwork. And I didn't want to do it because I just came home from school.